And we're back here on CKUW. You're listening to People of Interest. And right now we have a special live interview on the line. I have Marielena Ripo, a Saskatchewan-based political writer and activist. And she actually managed a campaign for David Orchard's leadership bids in 1997 and 2003. And we have her on to talk about the, well, the theme of the show today is a vote suppression and voter fraud. And it's been a very hot topic right now in the media with regards to the robocall controversy. So thanks so much for coming on the program. Are you there?
Well, thank you. I'm here.
Okay, great. And so I guess first, in regards to this recent controversy, how surprised are you to see these kind of tactics being exposed in the last federal election?
Not that surprised, actually, because we had indication of that in the previous election in 2008 from, you know, on the conservative side. Certain ridings were under assault in the same fashion, and the key element then was to mislead people into going to a non-existent polling station. So that did happen already, and wasn't, you know, and it was brought up that Saanich, Gulf Island, was one of them where people were told to vote for a candidate that would actually step down already, and that that gave the, that kind of saved saved Gary Luntz, you know, candidacy. He got back in as a conservative candidate. And so there was confusion sown, and so that's, you know, it surfaced, you know, in a couple of ridings then. And now, of course, it is countrywide. It's countrywide of different forms of actual fraud. You know, there have been other problems with our electoral system that I have dealt with, you know, through my, you know, experience as a campaign manager as well, and that is the elimination of a lot of people from the voters list, the people unable to vote when they go to vote, and that's a serious structural problem. But now we have cultivated electoral fraud, systematic, and to me, it's not surprising because this is the party that was caught in the in the previous election in 2006, actually, they spent monies in a very clever way so that they didn't show up,
right,
and allowed them to have about over $1.5 million extra dollars to have, you know, to gain their,
sure,
their, you know, gain power.
Yeah.
And so, and for that they have been, you know, they had to eventually assume responsibility, and they got fined, but that's really all. Now there's something far more serious, and that is the telling, you know, calling people systematically to tell them to go elsewhere to vote, you know, wrong places.
Yeah.
And this is very, very significant when the party was so determined, the Conservative Party, to get the majority. So they would, of course, then focus on certain ridings where their chances to take the riding was greater. These are this kind of swing ridings, so the ridings where you had the opposition parties had gained seats with a very small minority, it was a small plurality.
Yeah.
So that those were the target ridings. You don't need to do much, you know. You can only confuse. You might only have to confuse 20 people, you know. So because some of these ridings were won with 18 votes, 20 votes, and so on.
Yeah.
And they're easy for the conservatives to target them.
Yeah. So every little bit makes a difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's no fraud attempt wasted. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go for these ridings, and there was really 14 ridings that gave. Gave the Harper his much sought after majority, you know, and these 14 ridings all gave him the majority with less than 800 votes.
Right.
And some of them with 20, and some of them with 30, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
So do you think, like, this has been done in the past, and now it's just kind of expanded because it's successful and there hasn't really been any repercussions?
It's very, that's exactly it. They got away with it. We don't know how much they got away with already, previously, and in 2006, and so, I mean, now something is surfacing in a major way. way they can't hide it anymore. And you have to remember also that this is the, you know, the party that destroyed the Progressive Conservative Party that, you know, I was a member of, and I, you know, of course, you know, was a campaign manager for David Orchard twice in his leadership, leadership in a party. And David so eloquently described the party as having been conceived in deceit and born in betrayal, because Peter MacKay colluded with Harper in 2003 to, take over the Progressive Conservative Party against the wishes of the members, against the constitution of the party. So that action itself was illegal in so many levels. But they got away with that, and in fact were helped by the then head of the Elections Canada, Jean-Pierre Kingsley, who, approved of the merger in an extraordinary meeting on a Sunday, you know, when the offices are always closed, and met with Harper and MacKay and you know, allowed the merger, so-called merger, to go ahead, and which was really a illegal act on his part, and he has been taken to court for that by party members, and in fact, the judgment was against Kingsley for going ahead with a merger in that fashion. But there was no action. They didn't force the party to divide itself into two parties again. So there were no consequences, and so this has been. That's the background, you know. There's a deceit.
Yeah.
The party is built on deceit. Now we have deceit in trying to get power and majority to get away, you know, to do the things that they've wanted to do all along and haven't been able to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big picture is a party based on illegal acts. And we had that experience, you know, as campaigners in a party, when, you know, for the leadership, the kinds of things that are happening now nationally happen to Orchard delegates, Orchard supporters, we had delegate meetings that we were going to go to elect to support David, for instance, or to support whatever candidate were running. There were a number of candidates running, and there were no, and the meetings, you know, we went to a meeting and there was no meeting. There was the wrong address. So those kinds of, there were operatives at the time in the Progressive Conservative Party who were absolutely determined to bring about the takeover. So they were already assisting then, and they were doing it in these illegal means. And of course, we challenged them and complained and didn't get any results. Because this particular element, they were targeting Joe Clark. They had to get rid of Joe Clark as the head of the Progressive Conservative Party, and they had to get rid of David Orchard. Those were what they had to do, you know, in order to be able to take the party over, and that's what they did.
I see.
Peter MacKay signing a written agreement with David Orchard in 2003 not to merge the party. That was an illegal act in itself, because he agreed to something and then went against it. And this is a member of parliament, a member of the legal profession, put his signature in a contract and then went against it. So we have an illegal act right there.
Mm-hmm.
My role, I was then also a member of the national executive, so I witnessed all that and, you know, the whole takeover from the inside. But this is by and large an untold story, because mm-hmm. the media hasn't paid attention to the illegality of the founding of the so-called Conservative Party.
I see. So it's, I guess that would be when the dirty tricks started.
Hello?
Hey, Mary Lena, can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Oh, we may have lost her there. We'll just take a quick break and get her back on the line. And
hello?
Hi, Mary Lena?
Hello?
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to... we're having a connection problem here. But we'll be right back here on People of Interest on CKUW 95.9 FM. All right, we're back here on People of Interest. Mary Lena, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, great. So we had a connection problem there, but you were just finishing up. We were talking about the election fraud controversy and back to the founding of the Conservative Party as it is today, and some of the what you referred to as some fraud that was perpetrated in that founding.
Yes.
Now, the topic of election fraud. Do you think obviously you're suggesting that Conservatives are the one who use this tactic the most? Do you think Liberals or NDP have engaged in any kind of misdirection like these robocalls have done? Is it only the Conservatives?
Well, first of all, we had to clarify the whole thing about robocalls, and there's a very, the media has kind of got stuck on that. That the problem is with the calls. The calls really should be called automatic calls.
Yeah.
And all the parties, all the campaigns had to use them to the extent that they could afford them. And, I was campaign manager in 2008, and we had, David Orser ran for the Liberal Party up north in Saskatchewan. And we used, we used what was available to us. And these things are more and more a necessity because our election period has become shorter and shorter. That's part of the very retrogressive changes in our voting methods and came since 1997 when we got rid of enumeration and then also we shortened the time of the campaign. So it's almost impossible to do anything. You have about 5 weeks, for the whole campaign. Mm-hmm. So these are, let's call them automatic calls.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with automatic calls except, I would rather have door-to-door. I would have to rather have more time to campaign.
Sure.
What is the problem is fraud. Whether they're automatic calls for, perpetuating fraud or whether they are individual calls that you can get volunteers to make these calls. And, there are always people like that. I know that. They're in the party or parties that might do that. In this case, I believe that it's almost exclusively the Conservatives who've done that. But it's easy to do. They have a very advanced system the database for various ridings. They've bragged about it for years. They said, that's where they've been able to put the extra money that they fraudulently got, put it in a database that they can actually, they know a lot about the people in a riding.
I see.
Everything goes into a central database. And then they can, from that database, they can just click on all the people who have been hostile. Or maybe they can go to the people who've been indifferent and hostile. So you have a large constituency, but particularly the ones who've slammed the phone on them and told them that they're not going to vote for them. And, people say these things when they have a chance. Those people are immediately on the, you can take them from the database with a click of a button. And then you can make a list. And then you can pass that list on. But it has to come from the party. It's not something that you can do nationwide. Just like that, it has to come from you have to have access to the database from the central office, and that usually is guarded in because that's the the state secrets of the party. So whoever has done these things has had access to the party's treasure, and it's not a rogue individual. It is the system that funnels this kind of information. Here, this is for you, these are the people, why don't we try this here, we should eliminate a few voters here, we need it leads directly to their ability to do that and the system that they've developed over years, that they have the best database to do that. And certainly the kind of a list and database that we had in the Liberal Party in 2008 was very limited. The information was very poor.
Mm.
We got our information basically just calling people from the phone book. We didn't the information wasn't there for us. But the Conservative Party has that.
I see.
And they can put it to work, and they have done so clearly.
And do you think, like the Elections Canada investigations, now they're apparently going through you know, emails and databases like that, and seeing, you know, who had access to them, and it's, you know, a limited number of people, like you're saying. So do you think there will be convictions or any kind of resolution to who specifically will be blamed for these?
Well, we have to pay attention to the Guelph situation right now, because Elections Canada is interviewing an operator, somebody who's gone to actually Elections Canada office to make a statement, whether it's a statement saying I'm an innocent person or I don't know anything, or but actually they have been. That's now in yesterday's papers, and the person is not the one that was who was forced to resign. There was a young fellow working for one of the MPs,
right,
who had been in that campaign, and he resigned, in quotes. It's not him. Somebody else is going to make a statement. Elections Canada, I'm very concerned about Elections Canada taking hold of these things, because it hasn't been very proactive, and organization like Democracy Watch has documented how little they make public, how little is coming out of there, and so this is going to be a real test of Elections Canada. I have a jaded view from the role of the previous head of the Elections Canada, Jean-Pierre Kingsley, because it was a bias. He had acted in a biased fashion,
mm-hmm.
and now the same kind of thing could be happening, because Elections Canada also has to protect its reputation. They want to look better than they are, and therefore they don't want, it's in there. And they'll watch that these things are happening. Because there's another phenomenon right now, too. Some of the ridings where the, Liberal MPs lost with very few votes, they experienced a flood of voters who were allowed to come in and vote without really any identification, proper identification.
I see.
And this is very odd, because at the same time, a lot of people, regular voters, were harassed by, demanded that they have certain kind of documentation that they didn't have. But in these ridings, a lot of people, huge numbers, several thousand, and there's documentation of that, they came and voted. They were allowed to vote, and there's nothing on their registration indicating their address or their previous address, both of which are required for that kind of a registration. So, and that is already also on Election Canada's watch. So you'll see probably multiple levels of institutions covering up and protecting themselves. So the pressure has to continue. It's important that people express themselves, even if they're not personal complaints. And I think a lot of the complaints that have gone into Elections Canada have been exactly like that. People expressing concern. They're not necessarily 31,000 or 35,000 complaints, about something that happened that they experienced or witnessed. But so that has to continue, and that has to go to the political, to the Liberals and to the NDP. And the Conservatives, of course, had to be hit with these kinds of complaints, because they're working overtime to get away with this.
I see. So there's a lot of, I guess, different tactics to just switch for a few.
I'm still here, but I can't. You've disappeared again.
Oh, okay. I guess we can just leave it there. I'll get back to Maria Lena Repo, a Saskatoon-based political writer and activist.
Not able to hear you.
Thanks for coming on the program. We'll see if we can resolve this, and we'll be back, people of interest. Thank you.